Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
All right, folks, this is exciting. We're going to Havana, Cuba with Alt Latino hosts Felix Contreras and Ana Maria Sella. They usually join us with lots of music to add to our personal playlists. And today we are going to talk about music, but this time we're zeroing in on Cuba after Felix and Ana made a musical pilgrimage to Havana recently. Since I spent some time living there, I thought we could compare some notes. Felix, Ana, welcome back to Here and Now.
Thank you. Good to talk to you again.
Always a pleasure.
Okay, Ana, so I understand this was your first trip to La Habana, to Cuba. Felix, you've been there before. Why? What were you two doing in Havana?
Okay, so I had planned a personal trip to attend the Jazz Plaza, which was the annual Havana Jazz Festival. And then Ana heard me talking, and so she kind of invited herself, and I said, yeah, let's just go. We had a lot of fun, and we heard some really, really great music.
Yeah. Ana, what were your first impressions?
I think I said this on the show. I've never had an experience where I've questioned my own eyeballs more. I mean, it was really just so unique. The culture is flourishing. There's so much to see, to hear. It's striking, I think, in a lot of ways.
Yeah, and the show you're referring to is your podcast, of course, which I highly encourage folks to listen to. You know, I lived in Cuba when I was reporting back there in the late 90s. I've made multiple trips back. And music has always been at the center. I've been to rumbas, to callejón, to multiple Havana jazz festivals. And that's what you were there for, the jazz festival. You must have seen some amazing performances.
What folks need to know about the Havana Jazz Festival, it's like a festival in any other big cities. They have them in Montreal, they have New York, they have them all over the place. And Havana's festival is the same. We went to a lot of different big rooms, small rooms, outdoor facilities. This was the 39th annual. And over the years, they've had a lot of musicians from the U.S., a lot of cultural exchanges. In the last few years, I think since the pandemic, they have not had a lot of folks coming in from the U.S. this year. So then the focus is on this amazing group of Cuban musicians who are playing jazz of all different styles and genres and everything. It was really fantastic.
Mm. You know, the first Havana Jazz Festival I saw, there was this pianist, Robertico Fonseca, who was the hot new 20-year-old on the scene. He's now the artistic director of the jazz festival. He's an incredible pianist. Let's take a listen. Here he is with Sal al Malecón. I was really lucky that when we were both 20, I got to just sit in his living room during these long, lazy Havana afternoons. Tell us where he's at now.
I think what people need to also remember is that Cuba is known for the percussion, the drums and everything, but is known as much for the pianists. Just they have a long history of amazing pianists of different styles and genres. And Roberto is now one of the leading examples, shining examples of what it means to be a Cuban pianist these days. There's jazz, there's classical. I mean, he can do it all. And in the show that we saw, it was an amazing combination of all of the above.
So, Ana, listening to the podcast, you seem to have so many questions for Felix. As you did personal observations, was there one thing that really stood out to you that you learned?
You know, I always like to recenter us generally. I feel like Felix and Mai's mandate in covering Latin music is to show just the versatility, the diversity, the breadth of what Latin music is. And beyond Latin music, all the influences from across the world, from Africa specifically, is so present in so much of Latin America. And I had known that Afro-Cuban music obviously has its roots in Africa, but after listening all week, I had so many questions about how that came to be. You know, what was that journey? Where was that infusion of that culture? And Felix explained it has everything to do with the history.
And that history, Deepa, is during this the horrible history of the transatlantic slave trade, when the ships were here in the United States, they were not allowed to keep their drums. While in the rest of the Caribbean and South America, they were allowed to keep their drums. So in the rest of the part of the continent, all of these things developed, all these different styles, Brazil, Puerto Rico, Cuba. And here in the United States, the emphasis was on the vocals. You have this what they call the slave haulers that evolved into, in a very, very long way, evolved into like gospel music and blues and all the other stuff. It was only in one place here in the United States where they allowed to keep the drums, and that was in a very specific day on a very specific location in New Orleans. That was the only place that they were allowed to incorporate the drums into their musical expression here in the United States.
And you have an example for us of this very specific kind of New Orleans influence on Cuban music.
There's this cool song called Aiko Aiko from 1964 by a vocal group called the Dixie Cups. They were just kind of messing around with it in the studio while they were recording some doo-wop stuff. But if you listen very closely, you hear a lot of Afro-Cuban tradition. Check it out.
Look at my king all dressed in red. Aiko, Aiko, ande. I bet you $5 he'll kill you dead. Chaka mofina me. Talking about henna, 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 henna. Aiko, Aiko, ande. Chaka mofino anande. Chaka mofina me.
Yeah, it almost sounds like a clave in there, keeping
exactly
that beat.
Exactly. And that bass, the thum, thum, that's the tumbao of the, what we call the contemporary salsa sound.
That also feels like it sounds to me exactly like what we heard at the traditional Afro-Cuban rumba at a place called Callejon Jamel, which you, I think, are familiar with, Deepa. The drums, the chanting, the rhythm accompaniment. In fact, Felix, you did actually get to sit in and play with the group. You cried. I'm just going to tell everyone.
It was
that is what happened.
Aww.
I have been playing conga since I was 15, and I've dedicated myself to studying the music. And it was really an honor and a treat to be able to sit in on a traditional rumba that was happening there. And yeah, you know, I'm not afraid to say that I did. I was overcome with emotion because it was just such a pivotal moment for me and being able to celebrate and be part of this tradition. It was really fantastic.
And you recorded some of this music. Let's take a listen. Body just starts moving. It's impossible right? for your body not to move when
oh
you hear
God.
This.
Your feet and your hips, man. That's it. Then it's all over.
So let's take a step back and talk about the broader conditions in Cuba. We haven't been hearing a lot about the economic situation lately. What did you see?
The folks that I was talking to this time, they tell me this is probably worse than after when the Soviets left in the 90s, a special period. There's a lot of food shortages. There's a lot of medical shortages. They're really having a hard time right now. And the very, very basic staples are missing from their daily lives.
That's when I lived there at the end of the special period, and it was so hard. Yet the culture was so alive. It was almost, and you take this on in your podcast, as to when times are really tough, the music, the culture, it almost reaches a new level. Did you see that?
The short answer is yes. There is a new variant of reggaeton that they're doing in Cuba. People tell me that it's just, again, it's a reaction to times are tough and we're just going to dig deep into the culture and then have that reflect the way that they can protest in a subtle way or sometimes in an overt way what's going on in the broader situation there in Cuba.
Specifically to, I think, a place that has grown and been an expression or rather a manifestation of that desire to resist through art or at least just showcase joy through art is Fábrica de Arte. I mean, it's a center for all kinds of Cuban work and specifically the amazing, very well-known Afro-Cuban jazz group Synthesis played there. We got to see them play there and the energy was just absolutely gorgeous.
Felix Contreras, Ana Maria Sayer, the hosts of Alt Latino. It's a podcast from NPR Music, and the next time you hear from us, we'll be in La Habana.
It would be awesome. Thanks, Deepa.
Thank you.